If you've got your Bibles with you, could you look to Colossians chapter 3? I just want to read you a few verses. Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. I don't know if the chaps at the back can put that on the screen. Colossians 3, 12. It says this here. Therefore, whenever the author writes therefore, you've got to pay attention to what they said previous, so we'll touch on that shortly. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord has forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds you together in perfect unity. Lord, I just thank you today. I thank you, Lord, that I'm able to share from your word. I pray that you give me the wisdom, the humility, the patience, Lord, and the ability today to really be able to unpack with these wonderful people what you've laid in my heart. Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit here this morning, and we just pray for an incredible sense of you moving in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I was kind of thinking today as I was driving into church. You know, when I was a little boy, things I used to like to do when the sun was out. You ever find that when the sun starts to shine, it always changes the atmosphere a little bit? Just in our estate where we live, in the mornings, I'm sat having breakfast. Just the past 2 or 3 days, and I'm drinking a cup of tea, and I'm like, what's that noise? Like, I don't know that noise. What's that noise? And there's kids playing outside because we're not really used to it. My wife and I, we just did a little, can we show that picture of my little girl? Can we do that? We've got a six-month-old little girl. Her name's Grace. This is Grace. She takes her good looks after her mum. She takes her personality after her mum, but she smiles like her dad. So I'll take that. But all of a sudden, there's these kids in there. You can take the picture down, because otherwise, I'm just going to lose everyone. They'll just be like, oh, the baby. But all these kids are playing outside, and it kind of got me thinking as I was driving in this morning. I wasn't hearing kids playing, but the sun was shining. I thought, what did I love to do as a little boy in this weather? I'm from the west coast of Scotland. The Glaswegian accent probably gives that away somewhat, but I used to love going out with my friend Johnny and his metal detector. And for those of you who don't know what a metal detector is kind of like a giant magnet attached to some flashing lights and a little noisemaker. So whenever it hovered over anything that was underground that was metallic, it would go beep, 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 beep. And as it was closer to it, it would go beep, 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 and the lights would flash. So as a little boy, I was kind of a little bit boisterous and a little bit naughty. So if you have a little boy who is naughty and is boisterous in Sunday school, bear with them. They'll get there in the end. But I remember as a little boy, my Sunday school teacher, who was like, honestly, like an angel. He was so patient with me. So in the class or the group of kids, they say, who's your favorite Bible character? And most of the kids knew the answer. Jesus. Gold star. David. You kind of got a gold star, a silver star. But when I was a little boy, who's your favorite Bible character? Mine was Samson. And it wasn't because, for those of you who know the story of Samson, it's like a story of redemption, God's grace, second chances. That wasn't why I liked Samson. I just thought Samson was like He-Man. So when I was a little boy, it was Samson. So I remember telling my Sunday school teacher, I'm going out this Saturday with my friend Johnny. And like, where are you going, Donald? I get Donald when I was in trouble, but it's Don normally. And I'd say, well, we're going to go down to the beach. And they're like, what are you going to find? I'm going to find dinosaur bones. Now, disclaimer, metal detectors do not find bones. But I'm 10 years of age, and I'm thinking that's going to... Or I'm going to find like a piece of Roman pottery and go on Antiques Roadshow with my dad. My dad was my hero. And we're going to make like £1 million or like £100. Anything that was more than a quid was like a lot of money. So I remember one day in particular down with Johnny. We're down the beach, and the sun was scorching. Johnny's dad, who was a pastor, he was just so patient. He just sat up on the benches. I want to see reading his Bible, but probably reading the paper. But he just let us do our thing, running up and down the beach. And I remember this one particular day, we found this can. It was an old can of Iron Brew. Now, we thought, oh my goodness, this is the original, the first ever can, because we didn't recognize the artwork on it. So we ran up to Johnny's dad and said, Johnny, look what we found. And he said, boys, that's great. And we could see that he wasn't as enthused by it as we were. And we thought, why are you not excited? And he said, well, you know, Iron Brew changed their design just a year ago. So boys, you found something really great, but it's not as great as you thought. So maybe go back out there. I think he was only halfway through the paper at this point. So we went back out, and the metal detector started making noises and flashing in a way that we had never seen before. It was going totally crazy. And we're like, what the heck is this? So we're digging and we're digging and we're digging, and we had to find like a couple of shells to kind of help us because we didn't really have spades. And as we're pulling out all this stuff, we're thinking dinosaur bones, we're thinking alien bones, why you get alien bonds, I don't know. But we're like looking and we're looking, and eventually we pull this out and it was the wheel off a shopping trolley. You know, as a little boy, I used to love fantasy stories. I used to love science fiction. I still kind of do. Like, I've got my tickets booked next week with some of the guys from church. We're going to see the new Avengers film, and I love that sort of stuff. But it's weird because I'm sometimes almost like a bit of a paradox, because I love fact as well. As the map sat next to me, I'm like, oh, okay, so Canberra's there and Sydney's there and Brisbane's there. I'm looking at Australia. I love fact and I love reality as well. But sometimes what happens to us as people, sometimes we kind of get like two sides to who we are as people. It's like the version of us that people really see and the version of us that we want people to see. Does that make sense? We kind of have two parts. So Paul writes in Colossians chapter 2 there, he's saying, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. In other words, what he's saying is this: that stuff, make it really easy to see. You want people to know what you're about, just make it easy to see. Jesus put it another way. He said this, he said, you got to be salt and light. And what does that mean? People are like, why do we want to be sitting pour salt on myself? No, you got to taste different and you got to look different from people who don't know Jesus. That's kind of the difference there a little bit. Jesus also said this in Matthew 5, that you are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. I wonder if for us sometimes we want to be known as like people that are compassionate and kind and oh man, see at work, I want people to know I'm so generous. I want people to know that I'm so friendly. But I wonder if the reality of it and the science fiction version of it, I wonder if they are actually one and the same. Does that make sense? The Bible says this, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. I wonder how you see yourself, and I wonder if you then behave that same way as well. You know, Martin shared that my wife and I, we're on a journey of planting a brand new local church. So we started 8 months ago with 4 people. We're now about 25 people most Sundays, something like that. We had one or two busy weeks in between, but that's kind of our average normal Sunday with no guest speakers. That's kind of where we are. And we're trying to discover who we are as a church, but we've been using this language recently. And in fact, since day one, we've been saying, actually, our mission as a church is to make Jesus our passion, to make people our priority, to make excellence our standard, to make the Holy Spirit our guide, and make the Bible our mandate. And people say, Pastor, do you see yourselves doing anything different than that? Maybe, but right now we're still struggling with number one and number two, so we'll eventually get to the rest, but we're trying to make the reality of who we are as a church, as a group of individuals, the same as who we see ourselves. Does that make sense? We want the two to be one. We want to be one way sometimes, but I wonder if it's kind of hidden. I wonder if people would say, Don, I know that you always talk about being a generous person and people being your priority, but I wonder if really that's who you are. I wonder if that's really who you kind of try and be. And I wonder if that's what you try and live out. Or I wonder if for us sometimes as individuals, and you may not be like me, but I wonder if someone would need a metal detector to find the good stuff that's in your life. I wonder. Or I wonder if, like Paul said, clothe yourself in it. Another version says, wrap yourself in this. And kind of the question I have for you today is this: if the glove fits, if the glove of compassion, of kindness, of gentleness, of humility, of patience in your life, I wonder if the glove fits, will you wear it? Because God has called you and placed you uniquely where you are to serve a purpose. Now, we could get all theological and get down to like what theologians would call your irreducible minimum. And it's like, why were you created? Why are you here? Well, you're here to display the wonder of God, to worship Him, all that sort of stuff. But actually, quite simply, you're here to love the Lord God with all your heart and to love your neighbor as yourself. And I wonder for you, where you currently have placed, what that could look like. I wonder if it could look like you taking out the bins for your neighbor, despite the fact they never do it for you. I wonder if it could be that you tell your kids that you're proud of them before they have an exam rather than after they pass the exam. I wonder if it's the fact that you choose to be pleasant. I wonder if it's the fact you choose to be nice. One of the things that drives me crazy, and you guys have been so friendly this morning, so it definitely doesn't happen to Hillview. One of the things that drives me crazy is sometimes I walk down the street and I see other people that I know that are Christians, and I look at them and I make eye contact with them and they look away. And I'm like, now, don't get me wrong, I may have done something offensive in the past, but I'm like, I read what Paul writes and he's like, bear with one another. And if any of you has a grievance against one another, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. And I'm like, man, if I've done something wrong, I'm so sorry. I'm kind of a little bit obnoxious sometimes, so I go out my way to go and say hello to them. I'm like, hey, great to see you. I don't know if you miss me. Because the reality is this, I'm going to be spending millions, billions, trillions of years with these people in eternity. That's the reality of it. Sometimes the only thing we have in common with people is Jesus. But I'm like, man, I got to bear with these people. They're getting on my nerves for being rude and annoying. Man, you just got to go on Facebook for folk to get on your nerves. I guarantee if you pull your phone out and go on Facebook and scroll down 10 people's feeds, man, by the 10th person, you'll be so, I can't believe they put that. How attention seeking is that? But we've got to bear with one another. I'm just being real here. We've got to bear with one another. But I wonder this. I wonder if we're wrapping that stuff around ourselves. Or I wonder if we're wrapping other stuff around ourselves. I wonder if we wrap on gossip and slander and anger and frustration and impatience and a lack of consistency and lust and addictions that are unhealthy. All that sort of stuff. I wonder if we wrap that stuff around ourselves. So when people look at us, they're like, ah, that's what they're about. But the good stuff that's there is really hidden, really quite deep. Can I just share a little bit more from Colossians 3? The very start of Colossians 3, verse 1, Paul says this, since then you have been raised with Christ. So that's another one of those phrases that the author writes. When they write something like therefore or since then, he's referring to something previous. In Colossians chapter 2, the church at Colossae, they're kind of like asking Paul, who's kind of like this apostle, he's kind of like this great leader, this great example in the faith, and they're saying, essentially, this is my paraphrase, Paul, all these people in our area that are of other faiths, their faith is so obvious. They have new moon sacrifices, they have this dance, they have a sit down, stand up, in, out, shake it all about movement. They do all these different things, so it is obvious what their faith is about. So Paul then says, okay, if their faith is that obvious for them about, let me just unpack what your faith is about. Since then, you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. So in other words, take your eyes off the temporal and look to the eternal and see that God is high and lifted up, that actually his ways are greater than your ways, that actually the path you're on is actually a very different trajectory from those around you. Keep your eyes on Christ who's seated above God. Set your minds on things above and not on earthly things. I love what it says in Proverbs. It says that when you give to the poor, you lend to the Lord. I love it where it says in the Bible where it talks about how we're to bless one another, how we're to look out for one another, how to encourage one another, bear with one another. What Paul writes in Ephesians, he says, live worthy of the calling that you have received. In other words, get your eyes above what you see run about. You get your eyes above the gossip, get your eyes above Facebook, get your eyes above what you feel, what you see, what everyone else is talking about, and look at Christ because he is your example. It says in verse 5, put to death there whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lusts, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. He then goes on to say, don't lie to each other. I wonder if we lie to ourselves. That's just a thought. I wonder if we sometimes say, I'm the most generous person. I'm the most kind person. I'm the most encouraging person. But I wonder if we really are. That's just a little thought. Paul says, do not lie to each other since you've taken off your old self. I think this is what happens. People get saved, they accept Jesus Christ in their lives, and they rid themselves of a lot of this stuff. But sometimes we don't fully step into everything that God's got for us. Because we need to get this, don't we, church? Actually, we haven't just been saved, but we've been saved and called. Saved by Jesus Christ's grace, but actually called to be a blessing, to be encouraging, to be worshippers, to be great moms and dads and husbands and wives and business leaders and pastors and just be great, incredible, godly examples to those around us. But sometimes we're kind of caught in this limbo in between. We're like, okay, I'm saved, but I don't quite know what I'm called to. Paul kind of goes on and says, put on your new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge of its, an image of its creator. And he goes on in verse 12, like we said, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. I wonder if the glove fits in your circumstance, in your world right now, will you wear it? I wonder what thing God has been calling you and asking you and prompting you and poking you and almost like your daily devotions is screaming out at you. I wonder what God is calling and asking you to do. I wonder if God is asking you to be an encourager. It's one of the biggest things. I travel the world regularly. It's one of the biggest things that almost doesn't exist in the UK is encouragement. Just to say, I believe in you. You are so great at that. Can I encourage you to encourage your youth workers and your kids workers and your worship team and your pastor as well? You're doing a great job today, Pastor Martin. We so appreciate you. Hey, do you guys want to come out of our house for dinner? Pastor Martin, we just believe in you so much. Come and hang out with us. Martin hasn't asked me to say this today. I'm just feeling like this is where we're going. But I wonder if perhaps that God has laid it on your heart to be an encourager. Or perhaps that you're even at someone in your house today. Maybe you're a bit of an empty nester and you love kids. Why don't you encourage some of the other families in the church? Come on over to us. I love to host. I love to be hospitable. I wonder if that's the glove God has made for you. Sometimes people come up to me and they say, Pastor Don, I really just want to get engaged and involved in church, but I don't do singing, I can't play an instrument, I don't know how to preach. Like, in terms of the welcome team, I'm kind of introverted, I'm kind of shy, so being a welcome team is really hard for me with all these high-energy people. I don't know what to do. So I actually got a text like that this week from one of our great guys in church. I texted him back and said, dude, can you do me a favor? Here are the names of four guys in the church. Can you just connect with them and host them? Because you guys hosted us so well over a lovely meal a few weeks ago. I think other people in the church would just be so blessed by that. Could you do that for me? And he replied back and said, that's like the simplest thing ever. I just never thought that that was part of church life. And I said, mate, that is church life. That is what the church is all about. Bearing with one another in love. Encouraging one another. As iron sharpens iron, so we sharpen and encourage and help one another. I wonder if the glove fits for you. Will you wear it today? I'm obviously here representing compassion, but I also want to encourage you too. But today, this is Elisha and Elijah. It looks like they share the same clothes, actually. It looks like one got changed and they switched it around. We've got these guys here. We've got 30 other kids today that are looking for you to say, the glove fits for me. I can do one or two or three. I've had people walk up to me at church before and say, I'm doing six kids. And I'm like, flip, man, that's incredible. It's crazy, but it's incredible. And they wanted to sponsor that many kids. But I wonder if for you today you could sponsor a little boy like Elisha, who's 5 years old. All of these kids, just so you know, are from the one church, the one project, just outside Nairobi in Kenya. So there's a kind of sense of community there, isn't there? So all your brothers and sisters in church, they've all got the same kids in the same place. I wonder if that's the glove that needs to fit for you today, to sponsor a child. I wonder if the glove that needs to fit for you today is to be more consistent. You know, it's so funny, isn't it, when it comes to work. Like, we always show up for working time, but we turn up 2 hours late for worship practice. I wonder if we need to start showing up more in time for worship practice and encouraging the team a bit more. I wonder if we just got to encourage one another more. I wonder if we got to smile a bit more. I sometimes think Christians have either got no teeth or they've forgotten what smiling is. Because you look out and sometimes and they're like, don't smile, cross my arms, don't pretend I've got a personality. Because that sometimes happens. I meet people who get saved and their personality's left at the door and they come into church and they're the most miserable people you've ever seen. I'm glad I'm getting some smiles here. A few churches have said words to that effect before and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to get thrown out the fire exit. People are looking for signs. That's what it says in Colossians, the signs. Colossians chapter 2. People are looking, what is it different about these Christians? Or they would have said, these followers of the way, these Christians, what is it that's different about them? And Paul's saying this, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience, bear with one another in love. That is the stuff that's different about you. People see what you wear. And when you start to wear this stuff, it changes how you look. So when you start to take compassion and you put it on, it changes how you look. When you start to take humility and you put that on, it changes how you look. When you start to take patience and you put it on, you see where I'm going with this? Man, there's some clever people here. I'm getting big smiles. It changes how you put on kindness. It changes how you look. And when you put on patience, I'm not putting the hat on, it's far too hot. It changes how you look. When you start to clothe yourself in this stuff, it changes your external appearance. And there's something very different about you. When people who are kind and considerate and thoughtful and compassionate and patient with people, it changes something in the atmosphere. Even right now, since I started putting this on, the atmosphere just changed. Because it's visible and it's different. Paul writes this in one translation. I've got to take this off, it's too hot. Paul writes this in one translation. Embow yourselves. Sounds painful. What he means is this, is take that what God has placed on the inside and put it on the outside. You know, the Greek word for compassion means this. It means to be, in fact, I'm keeping the jacket on, it's not coming off easy. The Greek word for compassion means this, to be moved as to your bowel. And what that means is this, same translation. What that means is this, it means that when your bowel starts to move, let's get real again, you got to do something about it. When you need the loo, you got to go. When you feel compassion, Jesus is saying this, you cannot do nothing about it. When you see a need, you got to fill it. When you see someone that needs encouraged, you got encouraged. When you see someone that's lonely, you come alongside them. And we're real about that stuff. And we're like, I'm going to help you. I'm going to come alongside you. I'm not going to let you stand alone. It's kind of a rule we have in church. So when I get back down to church this evening, I'll arrive back in Glasgow around 4, 4.30. We'll have a team brief at 4.30. We start our service at 5 o'clock. At 4.30, I sit with our team. And I say, guys, no one does what they say. No one stands alone and no one sits alone. That's a rule we have in church. No one stands alone, no one sits alone. We never let people stand alone or sit alone because we do not know the week that they have. Never put pressure on people, never be forceful on people. But remember, no one sits alone, no one stands alone. We try and model that kind of thing. All of these things can be really inconvenient, can't they? To put on compassion and all that sort of stuff, it can be really inconvenient. You ever get those phone calls sometimes? Someone asks you to do something? 4 years ago, I was finishing up leading the denomination that we're part of. I was finishing up leading the denomination we're part of's youth movement, and it was our last conference. We had an international speaker coming in. There was like 500 youth coming in Glasgow. It was like crazy. So I got a phone call the Thursday before the next Thursday when we started. I only had a few days to prepare my message. I got a phone call from this lady. She said, hey, my name's such and such. I don't know if you remember, you married my cousin a few years ago. I'm like, I didn't marry your cousin. I married my wife. Then the penny dropped. I was like, ah, I married her and her husband. Okay. She said, I'm phoning you with some really bad news. She said they gave birth to the lady gave birth to a stillborn baby about 3 days ago. And I'm like, oh snap, man. I don't know what to do. I was like, you know, ever get that way? You're paralyzed. You don't know what to say or what to do. I was just like, God, I don't know what to say here. And she said, we want you to do the funeral. It's next Thursday morning. And my first reaction was, I get far too much on. And almost like the same thought, same sentence, comma, went on to, actually, I'm too busy not to do something about this. I got to do something here. I said, I'll be there. I said, when can I meet with you guys? I met with them that afternoon. I met with them again the next Tuesday, spent about time praying with them. You know that song, I Have a Hope, is an anchor for my soul, Hill song. I have this hope as an anchor for my soul. Anyway, that song, like, I just brought my iPhone and played it for them, and man, they were just weeping, and I got to pray with them and minister in that situation. I tell you, man, that was pretty inconvenient for me. I had so many late nights. I was up till 2, 3 a.m. preparing stuff and just wanted to do a great job for the family and for our conference and everything we were running at that time. But compassion and kindness and humility and patience and all this stuff comes at a cost, and it is inconvenient. I had the privilege last year of doing the dedication of the little girl who was born, I think, a year after. She's now 2 or 3, I think. I can't exactly remember the dates. But that was a real privilege to be able to do that, and that was a real joy. But I wonder for you today, I wonder what act of compassion or kindness or humility or gentleness or patience, I wonder what glove you need to wear today in order to impact someone else's world. Because the Bible says this, is in Genesis chapter 12, and Paul goes on to say that we share on it, that we have been blessed to be a blessing. It's kind of a cheesy Christian phrase, but the reality is you have been blessed. If you decided that you wanted to understand what it is to live like these kids in Africa, you could do a few things. You could throw out all the food in your house except from beans and rice and a couple of bits of bread. You could block up all your toilets. You could turn off all the electricity. You could move all your family into the garden shed. And you could have one duvet and one mattress between all of you. That gives you context as to where some of these kids are living. Forget that the NHS exists. There is no police service. And the toilet that you do use is shared with the 50 other homes around about you. That's the context of where these kids are living. And I wonder if for you today, you could do something about that. You can't maybe impact. There's 400 million kids that live in abject poverty. You probably can't impact 400 million. But you could impact it for Elisha or for Elijah. And then someone else could impact it for little Ruth that's out there. I think there's a Grace out there as well. I think you could just do one thing at a time. I'm not saying that you can see all of your neighbours one for Jesus Christ, but I wonder if you could perhaps just be nice to one of them and encourage one of them and make a difference to one of them. Because Jesus is kind of about the one, isn't he? The lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. He's kind of about that. Big song that's kind of gone out right now is a song called Reckless Love, and there's this line in it. It says basically that you abandoned the 99 to come after the one. Jesus is consistently abandoning the 99 that are found, that are safe, to come after you. And I wonder if perhaps we got to just rid ourselves of some other stuff and clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Here are a few things. Can I just leave you with like 3 quick points around clothing? Here's the first thing is this, is that everyone has got clothes. Everyone has a measure of compassion, of kindness, of humility, of gentleness and patience that they can show right now. You have a measure of that today, whether that's with your school friends or with your buddies at work, whether that's with someone in church, whether that's with your friend. You have a measure today that you can do something. It might not be a compassion child. £25 a month might not be where you're at with this, but actually it could very easily be where you're at with this. That's the first thing. The second point is this, is that just because you haven't tried to be compassionate or kind or patient or gentle or any of that stuff, perhaps in a long time, in a real practical way, doesn't mean that it gets thrown in the charity shop pile and that you just throw, 1992 was the last time I did something like that, Dawn. I'm not doing it again. You know, in 2006, I was really kind to someone then. I ain't doing that sort of thing again. You know, I was really patient with that family member back in 2005. I am done with that family member. I wonder if God is calling you to come back to humility, come back to patience. Let's be honest, when it comes to family, humility and patience, let's be really honest, let's be really real. You need it in bucket loads sometimes. I wonder if God's just calling you back to that today. Here's the third point, is that. So point number one is that everyone is closed. Point number two is just because you haven't worn it doesn't mean it's for getting chucked in the charity shop pile. Number three, these things aren't just for special occasions. I only have one suit. Praise God, I only have one suit. But I only use it for weddings, really. Funerals on occasion. It's the only suit I have. And it gets pulled out for special occasions or for important occasions. But I wonder if for you sometimes, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, it only gets brought out for special occasions. I think it's easy to love people that love us. But Paul writes this, pray for those who persecute you, doesn't he? I wonder if we do that. I wonder if we pray for those who persecute us. Something that actually I've been really challenged on recently. Anytime someone comes into my head and they're bugging the life out of me, I just start praying for them. I'm like, God, I pray for your blessing. I pray for your abundance upon their life. I pray for the favor upon them, their marriage, their ministry, their jobs, their, whatever they're involved in. I pray that you bless that in Jesus' name. And do you know what? I tell you what, it frees me. And a lot of the time this past couple of months, I just send encouraging text messages to folk that I think, man, I actually think that I've maybe upset those people I've not heard from in months. I just text them to encourage them. Say, hey, believing in you, believing for you, love you guys, can't wait to see you soon. And it just lifts something off me, I tell you, and it breaks something in them as well, because all of a sudden they come back, oh, Don, it's so great to hear from you. Not seeing you guys in ages, love you guys. I wonder what glove God is calling you to wear today. Because what we do points towards something. Everything we do makes a difference in this planet. And we have changed off the old nature, and we're embracing the new. And I wonder what that looks like for you on a real practical level today. I wonder what you could do. I wonder if you, when you leave this room, you've got to send a text message, you've got to make a phone call, you've got to go to the other side of the room and say, I've got to invite that person to my house for lunch, I've got to encourage that person, I've got to just get alongside them. I wonder for you today what that looks like. If the glove fits, which it does for you perfectly, church, will you wear it? Will you sponsor a child? Will you encourage someone? Will you challenge someone? Will you accept the challenge that someone has placed before you? Will you do something about it? Or I wonder if we need a metal detector to really dig into that good stuff that's hidden really deep. And God's just saying, don't hide it, just wear it. Make it really obvious to see. I love the book of Acts in the Bible. It's probably one of my favorite books. But I love how it's called the book of Acts and not the book of intentions. Sometimes I think the Christian life is the book of intentions. I wonder for you today if you could act and do something. Just before I finish, can I ask you guys just to watch the screen? This is a video clip of an incredible leader called Richmond from Uganda, who is a formerly sponsored Compassion Child. I'd love you just to hear his story, and I'll just pray with you and hand back to Martin and the team. Is that okay? Let's check this out.
When I was 8 years old, my father was taken away from us, and by that I mean he was murdered. Nothing was the same for me. News began to come to our doorstep. From our landlord, we got word that we couldn't stay in the house that we stayed anymore because we couldn't afford it. My mother had no job, my father was the only breadwinner. We moved from where we stayed to a place called Naguru Kasenke, which is one of Uganda's largest slums. And then I was introduced to our new home, which was a 12 by 12 room. I looked up on the roof. It was a tin roof that had holes in it. I've been to places where when it rains, people are happy. They get excited. But for me growing up, whenever it rained, that was a night that we would stay standing. Get little buckets placed just where the holes in the roof are, and wait until morning. A reality hit me that day. This was life. I remember when my mom said to us there was no money for food. That ushered us into a place where we were now going to begin to go to the street to fend for food. Hunger began to set in. Lack of water. I was a kid. I didn't have time to be a child anymore. As I lived like this on a daily basis, poverty began to speak to me as a child. I felt I was nothing. I didn't matter. Nobody cared to know my name. I think the best way I could describe who I was and what I thought is the word hopeless. My mother, in tears, approached one of her friends just to share with her friend, and her friend shared with her about compassion. Compassion staff members immediately came to our home. I remember them coming with files to get details of who we were, what our story was. I got the news that a young lady, Heather, she was 15 years old, a teenager. She had decided to sponsor me. I cannot find the words to describe the joy that filled our home when we got the news. Richmond, you've got a sponsor, which means you can now go back to school. It means food will be given to us because of you. I began to walk into that reality. That ushered in me an opportunity to rekindle this hope that was taken away. Heather began to write to me. To hear words like, Richmond, I love you. Richmond, I'm praying for you. They began to bring healing into places that were destroyed by voices and poverty and my self-image. I remember my day, June the 3rd, 1996. I worked forward to accept the Lord Jesus in my heart. I began to feel, wow, I have been released from poverty. I have been released. God began to continue to grow the leadership within me. And then I felt fully called to pursue pastoral ministry. I began the Pastor's Discipleship Network, a ministry that exists to train and equip pastors. And I spend a lot of my life training and equipping pastors in the Word of God. Looking back into my life and thinking where I am right now and what I'm doing, I don't think any of this would have been possible without compassion. Compassion works. Everything that was placed within the program has helped build me to who I am right now. Poverty is not just the lack of money, the lack of material, food, and water. Poverty is in. It's deep. I credit a lot of how I feel now about myself to those letters that I received from my sponsor. My name is Richmond Wandera, and I was released from poverty in Jesus' name.
I wonder for you today, I wonder if you have the seed of potential within you today to do something incredible for someone else, whether it is an encouragement, whether it is to sponsor a child. Because the Bible talks a lot about seeds and farmers and scattering seed and all that sort of stuff. It does, doesn't it? But we see harvest, God sees seed. We see fruit, God sees potential. God is laying before you today potential. He's laying before you today seed. And he's saying, you can do something incredible in the life of someone else. It's over to you. I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to strong arm you. I just want to challenge you to do something. I wonder if for you guys today you can do something for the life of someone else. 400 million kids live in abject poverty. 400 million kids will go to bed hungry tonight. Yet there are 700 million in the globe, globally, who would confess an evangelical act of faith. So we could wipe out poverty. That's us overnight if we decided to do something about it. I wonder if you could do something today to help the life of someone else. Can I pray with you and hand back to Martin? Lord, we just thank you for these wonderful people. Lord, we thank you for their kind hearts. Lord, for their generous nature, which is so obvious. We thank you for the warm welcome that they've given me today. Lord, and I pray as I leave here, Lord, I pray that these wouldn't be empty words, but Lord, truly lives would be challenged, truly lives would be changed. Lord, I'm believing and praying for an impact, Lord, next Sunday, that people who should have been given an invite to church a long time ago get the invite, they come along, they accept Jesus into their lives, that people who are discouraged are encouraged, people who are lonely find a friend. Lord, because you are the God who does incredible things, Lord, we thank you that you often use us to do these things. So, Lord, I pray today that the glove fits, Lord, and I pray that we wear it. I pray that we wear the glove of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, and we bear with one another in love. We thank you today in your holy name. Amen. Thank you.